Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, it's so glad to see you on this Sunday morning. You look good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you look good. If you're sitting by yourself, I'll just tell you, you look good, all right? You look good, especially from here. And people tell me I look better from far away, but you look good, all right? We are in like week 1700, not quite, but we're in this week of the series called Navigating Uncertainty. How do we go through life when things around us are uncertain? And this week, particularly this month, we're in a series within a series, if you will, about how to connect to God during uncertainty. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that that we don't have to disconnect from God just because things aren't steady or things aren't certain. And today I want to talk to you about, we've been reading through Psalms 23, and we're going to ask you to read that with me today in a few minutes, but we're to the scripture that says, He leads me in paths of righteousness. I'm thankful we serve a God who's leading us, aren't you? I'm thankful the Word says He's leading us, not leaving us, right? Megan says, I'm a terrible person to follow on the road because if you don't keep up, she says, I will just leave you. So just warning, if you're following to lunch today after supper or after church, you don't know where we're going, you better keep up because Megan tells me I switched from leading to leaving really quick. But here's the thing, God doesn't leave us, He leads us. You know, there's a story, a poem I learned when I was in high school. I hated English, I hated literature, I hated grammar, I hated all that stuff, and it probably shows up in my preaching and my teaching and my writing. But one of the writings that I actually enjoyed when I was in high school was a writing by a guy named Robert Frost, and it was a poem called The Road Less Traveled, so I've always referred to it. I'm just going to read to you the last few lines of that writing, and you've probably heard it in graduations if you haven't read it in books before. It says, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. How many heard that before? You read that writing? A lot of people have reference that writing for graduation speeches, commencement speeches. They've referred to it in books, how you know, sometimes taking the road that's not everyone else has taken pays huge dividends. And I just began to research this message, and that writing kept coming to my mind over and over again. I began to research that writing, and I actually discovered that when Robert Frost wrote this, he wrote it and he shared it with a friend of his as actually a joke. And I thought, man, all these straight-A students have been sharing this writing because of its monumental context about taking the road less traveled and how it can have a huge impact. And he wrote it as a joke. And I began to say, well, what's the joke? The joke was he had a friend of his who was living every single day of his life always regretting and second-guessing every decision he made. Should I take that road instead of this road? Should I bought this car instead of that car? Should I taken this job instead of that job? Should I have eaten at this restaurant or that restaurant? Should I, you know, all these coulda, shoulda, woulda. He was living his whole life in this state of question. And so Robert Frost wrote him this as kind of a joke. And instead of taking it as a joke, the guy he wrote it to took it and improved it, and the rest is history. It's made its way around the world multiple times. But I just want to know, have you ever wondered before, am I on the right path? Have you ever wondered, am I doing the right thing? Did I make the right choice? Am I doing what I really should be doing? You know, Psalms 23, how can we connect to God during an uncertain time in our life? Psalms 23 has an answer for us this morning. I've asked the last 3 weeks to read this out loud. I'm going to ask you to do it with me again this morning. Psalms 23, let's read the whole thing together, starting at verse number 1. Out loud so I can hear you, so I know I'm not by myself this morning. We mark it, say, go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and I thank you for every person in the room today, every person watching online, whether they're watching today or they're watching 2 weeks from now. God, I just pray that each of us would open our ears, our minds, to the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. God, I know that you have something to say to each of us. So help me this morning speak the words of God alone. Help us to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us so that we can connect with you even when times are less than certain. And God, we're going to be careful to respond to what you say, not just by hearing it, but by doing it, by responding to your word today. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen?
Amen.
The scripture says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. I would almost, if you got your notes this morning, you can change that phrase as far as I'm concerned, as far as the title goes, from saying he leads me to this week, and I've been getting ready for this, I've kind of changed some of the wording, and it helps me. And instead of saying he leads me, I like to put it in real present tense. I like to say he is leading me right now. Amen? How many believe that God is leading you right now? If you didn't know that, let me tell you, he is leading you right now. How many of you can say this honestly? Now, don't lie. We're in church. I would challenge you not to lie outside of church either, but especially in church today. How many of you could honestly say, you know, Pastor, to the best of my ability, I'm trying to live my life for the Lord. To the best of my ability, I'm trying to honor him with my decisions. To the best of my ability, I'm trying to do what his voice says and not what other voices are saying to me. If you can truly say, I am trying my best to honor God, I'm trying my best to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you can also say this confidently. You may not feel it, but you can say it. He is leading me. Amen? God is leading you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how your week was. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what your friends say. If you are doing your best to honor God, here's what I can tell you. He is leading you today. He's leading you. He leads me in paths of righteousness when times are good and when times are bad. He leads me when I'm sick and when I'm healthy. He leads me when I'm broke and busted and when I'm on top of the world financially. He's leading me when the church loves me and the church hates me. He's leading me when I have people's approval and when I don't. He's leading me. Friends, I want you to leave this morning understanding that if you're serving God, he is leading you today. You are not some random person wandering around planet Earth. God is here, and he is here to lead you today. He's here to lead you today. Amen? The more I was in school, the more I began to learn about the cosmic brilliance of the universe that we live in, right? That we live on a planet that is spinning. And it's not just spinning, it's making a pretty predictable route around the sun every single year and has been doing that for centuries. You know why it's doing that? It's not because of some Big Bang theory, unless your Big Bang theory is that God said it and bang, it happened. That's my Big Bang theory, because at the word of the mention of God's voice, he set this whole thing in motion, and you can see the artistic hand of the Heavenly Father in our universe. Friends, can I tell you, he has taken just as much design work and planning your life today. You are not an accident. You are not a leftover. You are not a mistake, but you are a handprint of God on planet Earth. He's designed you to function and bring glory to him. He is leading you today on a path of righteousness. Well, Pastor, I got fired this week. He can lead you on paths of righteousness. Pastor, I got a diagnosis this week that I don't like. He can lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We've said the last 2 weeks that David did not begin to sing these words of this psalm just from the great comfort of a palace, but he was saying this out of the depths of his heart when he didn't know what was going on. Listen, looking forward, sometimes we see unclear direction. But I don't know about you, when I look backwards, I can see that God was leading me. Can you see that? You know, one of the signs I hate, there's a lot of signs along the road that I don't like. But one of the signs along the interstate that I hate, or highways that I hate, or sometimes through town that I hate, is when I see a sign that says detour. Does anyone like it when you see that sign? You know, I've got this way that I come to the church, which that's a pretty simple way. There's only really one way from my house to the church. But I've got a certain way I like to go from my house to Sonic, and I go there 2 or 3 times every morning. There is about 3 or 4 different routes that you could take, but there's the way that I'm sure it shaves a good 14 and a half seconds if you turn right on Locust, cross the tracks, and then you hit that. I'm pretty sure it saves you some time. So that's the way I like to go. And a few weeks ago, at 7:30, I'm on my way to Sonic so I can come to work because I can't function without a Diet Dr. Pepper, and someone said those are in shortage. So pray for me, by the way. But I was on my way to Sonic, and I pulled on Locust Street, and guess what? One of those signs. I thought, oh man, I had to turn left. I had to go cross Pine Street, which is not a fun street at 8 o'clock in the morning. And here's the thing about detours. Anytime I want a detour, I feel like this is taking me longer. Anytime I want a detour, I think this is out of my way. Anytime I want a detour, I think this is costing me time. I'm going through unfamiliar territory. I don't know where I am. I'm just leaning on the next sign that says detour goes this way, detour goes that way. I hate, matter of fact, the only thing I like about a detour is when I get off of it. But if you'll read David's story, the writer of Psalms 23, you're going to find out that he spent a lot of his life on detours. I mean, the prophet Samuel showed up to his house and anointed him and said, "You are going to be the next king." Woohoo! Right? Wouldn't you say woohoo if they showed up and said, "You're the king"? Right? We're skipping November the 3rd or 4th or whatever election day is. It will not be Joe Biden or Donald Trump. It will be you. That didn't excite you? Have y'all not seen his airplane? I mean, that excites me. It's going to be you, but instead of David's life getting great, you know what he does after they pour that oil on his head and he gets to smelling good, and his dad has to understand that he's going to be the ruler of the whole family and all this great stuff. You know what David does next? He goes back to keeping sheep. He goes back to delivering pizza. Then he becomes a giant killer. Then he begins to be a spear dodger as Saul is trying to kill him. And he's living in caves. He's pretending to be a madman long before he ever winds up in the palace. His whole life is on a detour. And sometimes it's easy to believe that if I'm on a detour, somehow God has forgotten me. But can I tell you, even when you're on a detour of life, he is still leading you on paths of righteousness. Amen? You know, we're living in a detour right now, right? COVID-19. I'll never forget back in March, the first time I listened to the news conference of this pandemic that we're in now, and they begin to talk about it. They had all the doctors on the stage, and someone asked them, this was in March, how long do you think we may be fighting this pandemic? I'll never forget when one of them spoke up and said, oh, possibly into June. And my heart sunk. I said, June? That is too long. That is forever. And here we are in August, you know, and when's the end coming? I don't know. I'm just telling you, because even when you're on a detour, God can still lead you in paths of righteousness. As a matter of fact, I've kind of put this sermon in a sentence this morning is if God has led me here, he will keep me here. Amen. He leads me in paths of righteousness. I've told young people for years, if you're young or old this morning, it doesn't matter. If you got major life decisions to decide, whether you're about to get married or whether you're about to take a new job or move to a new city or any of those major life decisions, I want to tell you this morning, you better know that God is leading you where you're going. Amen. Because at some point, the glitter will fade. At some point, what seems heavenly is going to turn into hellacious. Can I say that from the platform? I hope so, because I just did. At some point, what you think is going to be heaven on earth is going to turn into something different. And in that moment, you better know in your knower that it was God who put me here. It was God who connected me. It was God that put us together. It was God who opened the door. It was God who provided for me. You've got to know that it was paths of righteousness that led me here, because that's the only confidence that will keep me and keep you when days are getting hard. That's why Philippians says, you can be confident of this one thing, that he that began a good work in you will finish it. Amen? Will bring it to completion. And by the way, not only does he lead us into paths of righteousness, this is a very exclusive statement. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, I've already got this. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Move on. And I will in about 5 more minutes. You got to get this. Here's the flip side of that. He only leads us in paths of righteousness. I want to say it again. God only leads, he's only going to lead you into paths of righteousness. See, sometimes I hear people use God as an excuse to do what they want to do. But can I tell you, God's not going to lead you into sin. God's not going to lead you into a lifestyle that is contrary with his word. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He's not going to lead you into doing wrong to other people. He's not going to lead you into adultery. Hello? I hear people say all the time, oh, I just thank God for this wonderful person, and both of them are married to 2 different other people, and they're thinking, can I tell you something? That is not from God. Love how you're shouting now. He's going to lead you into sexual immorality. He leads us into paths of righteousness. I'm convinced that as a good shepherd, Jesus is walking along beside us, and he is speaking to us. He is goading us. He is speaking to us the word of God, the way to go. And every time we respond to him, he is leading us on the paths of righteousness. Every time we ignore him, we're straying off that path. So how can we allow God, here's the question today, how can we allow God to lead us in the paths of righteousness? A few ways real quick this one. Number one, we got to realize that God's paths are not always straight paths. It says he leads us into paths, plural, multiple, paths of righteousness. In other words, sometimes God, he leads us off, and we think, man, Lord, I love the way we're going. I love the way life is going. But then we take our right-hand turn or our left-hand turn, and we think, man, I didn't see this coming. And we think because there was a curve in the road that somehow we've missed God. I don't know if you've ever, has anyone ever been to Branson? Right? If you've never been, I got directions for you. So I looked up on Google. This is a trip from here to Branson. And if you'll notice, there's only like one big curve and 2 or 3 small ones. Right? Now, all of you that have driven up Highway 65, you know that this picture is a lie. Right? There's nothing straight about that road once you leave the parking lot. I mean, it's crooked the whole way. But sometimes we start following Jesus. Then we start singing, Lord, I'll follow you. And oh, following Jesus is going to be so, look, it's just a straight little line, a gentle curve. It's going to be wonderful. Here's where I am. There's heaven. This is going to be awesome. And then we understand there's mountains and valleys. There's roads. When you zoom in, Google will finally show you. If you zoom in, they'll show you there's a lot more curves to this path than what we see. And sometimes when God begins to call us and lead us, we see this great big picture that looks like an easy straight path. And then the road starts turning, and we start wondering, God, have you forsaken me? Lord, have you left me? Lord, did you mislead me? Because we didn't think there could be a curve in the road and it'd be God's will. But listen, sometimes God leads us in paths that are not straight. But can I tell you, the presence of challenges, if you want to write something down today, write this down. The presence of challenges does not equal an absence of Christ. Amen? He can lead us even when the road gets hard and when the road gets curvy. John chapter 16, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, the children of Israel walked around for 40 years. We know that part of their 40-year track was a result of disobedience. But you can also see that for 40 years, God was leading them. He was providing for them. Their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't go hungry. He was keeping them. He protected them. We can read how other kings of the area wanted to slaughter them and even try to pay prophets to curse them, but they couldn't curse what God had blessed. I'm telling you right now, aren't you glad to know when you're honoring the Lord that the enemy can't curse what God's blessed? That's a sermon right there all by itself. But they couldn't touch him because they belonged to God. Listen, I'll tell you right now, my life has been most defined by crooked paths I did not expect that Jesus led me through. You may be wondering, well, Pastor, why does God lead me to places I didn't expect? Why does God let me go through things that wasn't on my radar? How come this straight path between here and the next life can't just be straight and easy? How come there's curves in it that I don't understand? I'll give you one reason, because when he leads us in places of righteousness, he also leads us to unforeseen places of provision. Here's one thing I've learned, is that you can never know how God may provide for you next. How he's provided for you in the past is no predictor of how God will provide for you in the future. It's just evidence that he will provide for you in the future. Sometimes we try to box God in. We think, well, God, this is how you provided me before, and this is how you're going to do it again. And then God begins to lead us in different patterns and different ways. And we think, Lord, you're getting me away from what I'm used to. You're getting me away from what I'm comfortable to. Lord, you're getting me away from that source that I've always depended on. And listen, now the reason God does that is because he wants you to understand he's your source, not that thing in your past. But God leads us into paths of righteousness, and part of those paths of righteousness are places of provision. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 3, there were three kings of Israel that came out to try to defend themselves against an invading army from Moab. And they got out there, and they felt like God had told them to work together, that they would be able to defeat this king. And they get there, and they understood they were outnumbered, outgunned. Moab had more chariots than they had, more soldiers than they had, and they thought, man, this is impossible. And they were about to die of thirst. And the Lord said, listen, this valley you're in today, how many, you may feel like you're in a valley this morning. Maybe you walked in this room today. You say, Pastor, I'm so dry. I'm just in this valley. I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, listen, in the morning, you're not going to see any wind or any rain. But yet, every hole in this valley will be filled with water. And you and your cattle and your animals will drink. And then listen to what the prophet said. And this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. And he will also deliver Moab in your hands. These kings thought that they were abandoned by God. They thought God had led them to this valley to forsake them, to let them die of thirst. But in the place that they thought was God forsaken was actually God's provision. I wonder who in this room is going through a place that you think this place is God forsaken. But if you will understand, he leads you in paths of righteousness. The place that you believe is God forsaken can be the place of God's provision. It really can. Secondly, this morning, he doesn't just lead us to places of provision. He leads us in places of protection. I'm convinced that all of us are facing issues, especially myself. We're facing both failures and success that would have crushed us in our past. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, there's a story of when David was running for his life from Saul. And David found out about it, and Saul and the whole army of Israel was out there seeking David and his buddies. And they came, and the Bible points this picture out, that there's this mountain, and David is on one side of the mountain, and Saul's on the other. And they're just playing this game of hide and seek, knowing that it's just a matter of time till Saul's forces widen out and David's going to have nowhere to run. But for the moment, God's hiding them on one side of the mountain. And all of a sudden, Saul gets noticed that the Philistines are starting to attack Israel from a different area. So they have to retreat from seeking David and go follow the Philistines. Listen, friends, I am certain with all my heart that that God was that mountain for the moment, protecting David from Saul. I'm also convinced that the Holy Spirit was involved in making sure that Saul got the notice at just the right time, that you need to go and fight somewhere else so you'll stop pursuing my servant. I'm just saying that God can lead you to places of perfect, not just provision, but protection. Our 2-year-old Nora doesn't quite know how to swim yet, but she loves to swim. You understand that? And so she's pretty good. I mean, she can swim good. It's just the breathing part that she hasn't quite figured out. You can't do that underwater. And so when we go swimming, a lot of times, you know, I'll let her swim from the steps to me, which is like, you know, 3 feet, and I'll pick her up, and we'll do that. That's because she wants to swim without her life jacket on it, because that's how Big Sister, our 5-year-old, that's how Stella does it. So Nora wants to do it the same way. And Stella's like a fish. She can swim anywhere, anyhow she wants to. And so she'll spend all of her time down there in the deep end, you know, chasing toys and all this stuff. And Nora wants to go down there with her. And so she'll say, "Dad, take me to the deep end." And so I take her down there, and our deep end is only 6 foot deep, so it's not really over my head like it is hers. But I'll take her down there. And not one time have I seen our 2-year-old terrified while we're in the deep end. Another day, Stella began to kind of say, "Hey, Nora, don't let go." And she just responded, she said, "Daddy's got me." And when she said that, I thought, Lord, give me the confidence that when I'm in over my head, that Dad's got me. Amen? Amen? That Dad's got me. Paths of righteousness are places of provision and places of God's protection. I don't know where God has led you today, but I know this: if God has led you there, He can keep you there. And paths of righteousness, there's one of these you don't like. This will be the one you don't like. Paths of righteousness are also paths of purification. Did you know that purity, holiness, is not a moving target in God's eyes? I've said it before. I grew up in a time, a church, a house where things that you might call common were actually a sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Brother Mike, you know what I'm talking about? I'll just talk to you. I mean, Brother Mike, you're not going to believe this, but there was actually a time when just going to the movies, people would say things like, "You better hope Jesus doesn't come back when you're at the movies, because He's not going to find you in there." And the bowling alley was almost as bad. The only thing worse than that was the Walmart parking lot, which was like equivalent to the high school parking lot here. That's where all the teenagers hung out. You know, but we had all these things that were sin. You got to watch out. Can I tell you, if something was a sin 50 years ago, it's still a sin today. Pastor, you telling me we got to stay off the Walmart parking lot? No, I'm telling you, the question might be, was it really a sin 50 years ago? Or was it some sort of legalism you were in? That's one of the Holy Spirit's there to help you out with that one. I won't straighten it out for you today. But here's what I know. Here's what I can tell you. Holiness before God is not a moving target, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He is developing us to see life different today than we saw yesterday. See, there are some things that I grew up someone telling me, you know, that's a sin. You better stay away from it. Like, don't you go to the bowling alley on Friday night? That's evil. That's worldly. That's whatever. And so, you know, I took bowling as a class in college, and so I'm pretty good. I can at least shoot an 80. But anyway, but I can tell you now that there are also things that no one told me not to do 30 years ago that I wouldn't think about doing today. because he's leading me in paths of righteousness. The biblical word for it might be, or the churchy word for it would be sanctification. He's always leading us into knowing him more and more. He's leading us to become more and more like him. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet, but I can tell you this. If you let God lead you in paths of righteousness, I know you don't want to hear it, but let me just tell you anyway. Some of you think, Pastor, that's not good news. It really is good news, because it's a signifier that God's doing something in your life. If you're letting the Lord lead you in paths of righteousness, there's things you're doing today that don't bother you, that will bother you in 5 years from now. Conversations you're having today that you won't have in 5 years from now, because he's leading you to be more in the image of Christ. In other words, he's changing your heart to be more like the heart of God. And you say, Pastor, well, I want to say what I want to say, do what I want to do. Why would I ever want my options to be less? Because the chance of knowing God is greater than any option you may think you have. That's why. See, 20 years ago, last Wednesday, is that right? Last Wednesday? 20 years ago, last Wednesday, Megan and I got married. And by the way, many of you didn't know it, but the church board gave us a nice card with a gift card from all of you. Thank you guys for thinking of us. But 20 years ago, I narrowed my options. Right? Y'all are getting real quiet on this part. Am I in your business or something? 20 years ago, I narrowed my options. Me and I walked into the front of the church and we said, only you, only me, only us together, boom. Up to then, the world was my option. But can I tell you, I've discovered something. There's something better than having options, it's having her. Amen. Amen. There's something better than having your right to taste all these things of the world. Because all those things you want to grab and have and chase after, let me tell you what they're going to be worth in the end. Nothing. You're going to end your life thinking, why did I waste my time on that? But you can find something, someone that will never disappoint you. And his name is Jesus. And he is leading you on paths of righteousness, which is, it's a path of provision, a path of protection, a path of purification, becoming more and more like him. So let me close, give you the next 2 points real quickly. So don't judge your journey by your current location. The psalmist says, he restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness. In other words, where I am today spiritually, where I am today in my pursuit of God, this is not my eternal destination. He is leading me. He is leading you. Can I tell you, friends, he is trying to lead you this morning. Some in this room, you've been serving God for 50 years. Let me tell you some good news. God is still trying to lead you into knowing more of him, more of his love, more of his experience, more of his Holy Spirit. He has more than you can ever imagine this morning, and he is leading you. Don't you judge your life on where you are now. He's got more for you. He is leading you in paths of righteousness. He's leading you. So you can't judge. Listen, don't judge, and I've made this mistake. Don't judge God's faithfulness according to your current circumstance. If it's not good, that just means he's not finished. Right? You walk in my house this afternoon after church, you go over by my fireplace, I've got a mess. There's an air compressor, some piece of the board cut up, hammer, screwdriver, all this junk. It's a mess. My wife's been really nice to me by not pointing out that I have messed up that part of our house. Do you know why it's a mess? Because for the last month I've been laying flooring. And though it's a mess, it's also a sign that I'm not finished yet. What if every time you saw something in your life that was a mess, you just thought, that's just evidence that God's still working. That's just evidence He's still doing something better. That's just evidence that He's still working to make this turn out for my life, just like His Word said. Friends, just because it's not pretty, that just means that God's not finished with your life yet. The Bible says in Psalms 37 that the steps of a man are ordered by God, and he delights in his way. Psalms 25 says, the man who fears the Lord, he will instruct him in every way that he goes. The scripture doesn't say that the steps of the righteous are always understood by the righteous. I've discovered that you don't have to understand the word to obey the word. Pastor Dave, let me tell you something about that barbecue grill the church just gave you. That stand is put together correctly. I can say that because I'm the guy that put it together three times. Right? I put the whole thing together three times. Took it up, put it together the first time, looked at the directions, I thought, oh, I messed it up. So I took it apart. Then I put it back trying to follow the directions. And I realized I put it together wrong. Then I realized I'd actually put it together the right way the first time. So I took it apart and put it back together again. But right now is right. I'm just saying I didn't have to have understanding. I still don't understand. But I know this. I could follow the directions without understanding them. He will lead you. Listen, we've been preaching the last 2 weeks, and I want you to get this morning. The God that leads me to green pastures. The God that leads me beside the still waters is the same God that leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all paths of righteousness for the believer this morning. Amen. There's a difference between God leading you to something and through something. And I'm thankful when he said paths through the valley of the shadow of death, he used the word through and not the word to. So if you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death, here's the good news for today. God didn't lead you to that. He's leading you through that today. Amen. Your Heavenly Father finishes what he starts. Third this morning, Megan, if you want to come. You can have confidence that God will never leave you along the journey. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Listen to the last part of that scripture. For his name's sake. Did you know that God will stay faithful to you not because of your name, but because of his name? Several years ago, I had a friend of mine. He was on the board of a very exclusive country club. So exclusive, no one could play golf there, swim there, play tennis there, eat lunch there. You couldn't even get in the doors unless you were a member or in company of a member. Very exclusive place. And that guy told me one day, Megan and I, close friends with him and his kids. He told me, he said, Greg, anytime you want to go, just walk in there and give them my name. And so for 5 years, I walked in. I never paid a dime. Just walked in, said I'm with. And I played golf just like I was a member, just like I had all the money in the world, which I didn't and still don't. But, you know, I got all these benefits, not because of my name, but because of his name. Can I tell you this word this morning? It's full of all kind of promises and all kind of benefits. And it has nothing to do with your name, but it has to do with the name above every name, the name of Jesus, the name that makes demons tremble, the name that makes dead things come to life today. It's that name that you can call on this morning. It's for his name's sake. Some of you, I read that scripture and I thought, well, Lord, aren't you, for your name's sake, aren't you kind of against pride? Don't you tell us not to be caught up on our name? But see, this whole passage, it starts, you've said it the last 3 weeks. I know you can say it again. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know for a shepherd, his name meant everything. See, if you were a shepherd, and while you were keeping the sheep entrusted to you, if a wolf came out and tried to devour a sheep, and you didn't try to at least fight off the wolf, they would ask, what's the deal? Don't you care about what we're entrusted to you? If you were a shepherd and when you were keeping the sheep, if one of them wandered away, you didn't go out to try to catch that one and bring it back. You're going to get the reputation of being a bad shepherd. You're about to become unemployed and unemployable, because who's going to trust a bad shepherd with their sheep? When we read the New Testament, when Jesus says, hey, he leaves the 91 and the 99 and goes after the one, that's not just an expression of compassion. That's an expression of commitment to his name. That's the kind of God we serve. He's going to keep every sheep. When Jesus was getting ready to leave planet Earth, he said this prayer to the Father. He said, Lord, I have kept all of those that you've entrusted unto me, except for the one that would be fulfilled for your name, for your word. In other words, Jesus is passionate about his name, and he leads me through paths of righteousness for his namesake. God is passionate about his name. All good shepherds would be. And I want to tell you this morning, you can trust God to keep you in paths of righteousness. You can trust that God's not going to leave you during uncertainty, because it's his name's sake. You can do a dive real quick if you want to the book of Psalms. You'll discover that he guides us. That's what we're talking about this morning. He leads us for his name's sake in Psalms 23. He forgives us in Psalms 25. He forgives us for his name's sake. Greg, you don't understand how bad I've been. You don't understand how much time I've wasted. You don't understand what I've done wrong. You don't understand who I've hurt, who I've offended. You don't understand how deep in the gutter I've been. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter about your sin. God doesn't forgive you or not forgive you because of how good or bad your sin is. It's all evil in the sight of God. But friends, the name of Jesus is still greater than your sin this morning. And for that name, he will forgive you today. It's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. He leads us, Psalms 31, for his name's sake. He delivers us. I don't know what you're in this morning, but I know this. Psalms 79 says he will deliver you for his name's sake. How can I have confidence that he will never leave me or forsake me? Because, yes, he loves you, but also it's his name. It's who he is. He doesn't leave his children. So I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning. Here's how we're going to pray. How can I connect to God in times of uncertainty? That's been the question the last few weeks. Realized, we said week one, he is your shepherd. Number two, we said, remember, he restores your soul. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, he is trying his best this morning to lead you. He is leading you. The question is not, is he leading? The question is, are we following? Because he is leading you into paths of righteousness, paths of provision, paths of protection, paths of purification, becoming more and more like him. The question is not, is he leading? The question is, are we following? He leads us in paths of righteousness through every season of life. And in this private moment this morning, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I feel lost. Maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you feel lost spiritually. Maybe you feel lost directionally. You're wondering, man, I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I'm 70 years old. I'm wondering, what is my life about? I'm lost directionally, whatever it is today. But you would sum up your life, whether it's spiritually, physically, emotionally, would say, Pastor, I just feel lost. Can I tell you, he is leading you even when you feel lost. If you would just turn to him, he will lead you this morning. You say, Pastor, I feel lost today. Whether it's, I'm not going to ask you which area. But that's me. Just lift a hand real quick. So that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Any area of every life. I'm just lost this morning. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room today. Remember this today. He sees you. If you feel lost, He will lead you. If you need direction this morning about anything, He will lead you today. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He only leads us in paths of righteousness. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray especially for those two that lifted their hands this morning. Father, I pray for those who are lost today. Lord, the uncertainty around them has somehow found and created some uncertainty inside of them. God, I'm thankful that you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, you're not leading them. You're not leaving them out to dry. You're not leaving them in the behind. You're not leaving them in the past. You're guiding them. You're leading them into places of provision, places of protection, places for their purification. Lord, you're leading them today. Lord, there may be curves in the road we didn't expect. There may be highs and lows that we didn't imagine would come. But Lord, you are here to lead us today. So I pray for those this morning who say, Lord, I just feel lost. God, I pray right now, you just make your presence known to them. Even now, surround them with your presence. Surround them with your power. Surround them with your spirit. And lead them through this season. The same God that leads us to green pastures and beside still waters leads us through the dark valleys of life. Lead them today. If every person said, Lord, I'm in one of those dark valleys, lead them today. Help them connect with you, even in the middle of a valley. We thank you for that. God, I pray over the church at large this morning, those watching online, those in the room. God, I pray that in the middle of uncertainty, they would connect with you. God, I pray that there would just be a depth that will come to our relationship with you, that we would go deeper in the things of God. Lord, no matter how things look, as Megan said, it's, even though they may be seemingly impossible, that you would make a way for them this week. And God, change us to be more like you. And Lord, help us this week to share with someone else the hope we've discovered in you. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.